Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. In today's study, in the book of Genesis, Pastor Dave will be talking about how there's a big difference between knowing the Lord and knowing of the Lord. God wants a relationship with you. He wants to stick closer to you than even a brother. And in His Word, He states that He will never leave you or forsake you, and that through Him, you can know true peace. Now let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Genesis chapter 28, starting in verse 10. We hope you're blessed.
Let's open our Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 28. And we will pick up where we left off in verse 10. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. And we'll go to the end tonight. We'll go from verse 10 to verse 22. So what we'll do is we'll read it together in its entirety, and then we'll go back through the text and break it up and see what the Lord has for us. So Genesis chapter 28, beginning in verse 10. It says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And so he took of the stones of that place, and he put them forth for his pillows. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And in verse 12 it says, "And he dreamed, and he behold a ladder set up on the earth, and on top of it it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it." Verse 13 reads, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" And in verse 15 it says, "And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither you goest. And I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not.'" Verse 17, "And he was afraid, and he said, 'How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.' And Jacob rose up in the early morning, and he took the stone that he had put forth for his pillows, and he set up for a pillar, and he poured out oil upon the top of it. And in verse 19, he called upon the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city at first was called Luz. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, verse 20, 'If God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go, and he will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace,'" middle of verse 21, "'then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I surely will give you a tenth.'" Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this opportunity that we have, Lord, just to have a Bible study. We thank you for the freedom we have in this country, Lord. We thank you for the rights that, Lord, you have still blessed us with, that we can meet in the open, Lord, with our Bibles on our laps. And we're asking tonight, Lord, that you would meet with us in this place, that, Lord, tonight would be a Bethel here, that this would be your house, Lord, that you would be in our midst working mightily. I pray for every person that's here tonight, Lord, as they've come to hear from you, Lord, that you would meet them where they're at. I pray that you would use me, Lord, just to be your mouthpiece tonight to speak to your people. Please remove distractions. Please remove hindrances, Lord, that would keep us, Lord, from receiving the blessings that you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Genesis chapter 28. And so we begin tonight and we look at Jacob. He is now our primary character. We've been looking at Isaac a little bit, And now we look at Jacob, and that's kind of who we're going to stick with here pretty much for the most part concerning most of the remaining text found in Genesis. Who here feels like they're in the most need for refuel tonight? That's what I expected. Most of the hands to go up. That's a good thing. The Lord wants to meet with you. He has something great for you. A.W. Pink said this, "Here we behold," talking about the text tonight, "here we behold the marvelous grace of God, which delights to single out as its objects the most unlikely and unworthy subjects." And so if you're feeling unlikely tonight, if you're feeling unworthy, you're in a good place. It says, "He selects those who have nothing, and he gives them everything." And so that's the type of person that God's looking to meet with tonight, specifically to encourage. Jacob is certainly that guy. Jacob is unlikely. Jacob has nothing. And Jacob, no doubt, from a human standpoint, is unworthy. Remember in chapter 28 last week, we saw this man, or rather chapter 27, we saw this man completely manipulating. We saw this man completely scanning his own father. We saw his mother doing the same things. We saw his father doing the same things. And we saw Esau doing the same things, a completely dysfunctional family at the very best. Everybody has an agenda. Everybody has a motivation and ambition that is contrary to what God has declared his will to be. And everybody's trying to figure out how they're going to get their way. You guys can't relate, right? None of you do these things, but these guys in the Bible did. Okay? And so what we see here tonight is we see in the same context of where we find ourselves in, as far as the storyline goes, we saw Jacob, he went and he betrayed his father. He put the goat's hair that he caught, and his mother made that stew for his dad, pretending he was Esau. He covered himself from his fingertips up to his elbows with this hair. Esau was a hairy man, and he covered his whole neck up and made himself, presented himself to feel like, to appear like, if Isaac was able to see clearly, just like his brother Esau, completely deceiving him so that he would receive the blessing. Now, the irony in all this is that God already pronounced that both the birthright and the blessing were going to be whose, church? Jacob's. Yet, for some reason, he felt, again, something we can't relate to, but him in a fallen state, he felt like he had to give God a hand. I got to help God out here. He's taking kind of long to allow those blessings he promised to bestow upon me. And so I'm going to give him a hand here to kind of make things happen a little quicker. I don't know about you guys, but I certainly can relate to being in a hurry, to being anxious. Come on, Lord, get things going here. We've been waiting long enough. We've gone through the trying process long enough, Lord. You've tested us long enough. We're tried and true. Now bless us. Pour us out with this thing that we've been waiting on you for. Jacob in that place, his mother in that place, deceiving Isaac. And no doubt the Lord's sovereignty was in the mix. Isaac pronounced the blessing upon Jacob. And remember, once a word is spoken in this time, there was no going back upon it. Once the patriarch spoke forth the word, after that was done, there was no going back. There was no changing it. And so the blessing was given to Jacob, even though he was completely dishonest, unworthy, and unlikely. God chose him before the foundation of the world, and he was going to use him and fulfill his purposes despite of his flaws and failures. And so as he's kind of leaving the room, as he's getting done feeding his father's flesh, that's all Isaac was caring about at this time, totally in a cool-down state, totally backsliding, totally walking against the will of God intentionally. That's called a transgression. Even though this was all going on, Esau walks in the room. "Dad, I caught you some great game here. I'm going to cook it up for you. You know, Dad, I got this meal that you've been waiting for." And all of a sudden, Isaac's heart begins to palpitate so fast within his chest. And he says, "Oh my goodness, who are you?" He says, "It's Esau, your firstborn son. I went and got you food, Dad. I went hunting. I caught an animal for you, whatever it was. And I made you the stew that you were desiring." And Esau, he says this to his father, and Isaac begins to become frantic. He becomes overwhelmed. "I can't believe this." He immediately recognized what happened. "Your brother, that heel catcher, you know how he's been ever since you guys were in the womb. He deceived me." And Esau goes into this huge fit of anger. "I can't believe him. He took my birthright." "No, he didn't, Esau. You sold him your birthright. He took my blessing. No, he didn't, Esau. God pronounced the blessing upon him. You were trying to be a con artist yourself. That's it. The only thing that's going to satisfy me now is I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill that little mama's boy. I am going to wipe the floor with him. That's the only thing that is going to satisfy me at this point after he did me dirty the way that he did. And so Rebekah hears about Esau's plan. She finds out what's going on and she says, we got to get him out of here. She tells Jacob of this thing. She tells Isaac of this thing. She says, certainly my baby boy, 77 years old, he cannot marry one of these women in the land. Isaac, we need to send him back home to my homeland and get him a bride because I cannot be not getting along with his wife. Her and I need to be buddies. We need to be close so that I don't lose my son. And so they send him off. They send him on a 500-mile journey back home to get a bride. And there he is running like a little pansy, fleeing for his life because he's afraid of his brother. And we pick up in verse 10, it says this. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went toward Haran. Einstein said something so great. He said, God doesn't throw dice. You see, what he's saying here and applying it to that verse is that God doesn't lead his people by chance. God doesn't, there's no coincidences with the Lord. Everything that we do in our lives, you always have to be open to the spiritual world. You always have to recognize that God is in the mix. Especially as a Christian, I'm looking out to the audience tonight. Some of you are pretty banged up. And there's a reason for it. Not that God's disciplining you or chastising you, guys. I'll take my eyes off you for a minute. Maybe you're over here and you're not feeling good or whatever the situation is. It doesn't mean that God's necessarily bringing his heavy hand upon you. But there's always a reason for everything. Maybe he needs to give you a period of rest. Maybe he needs to give you a time where he just wants your ear and he wants to speak to you. He wants to encourage you. But whenever you're going through anything in life, especially as a Christian, you should always be looking up to the Lord and saying, Lord, what are you wanting to do here? What's the plan here, God? What are you up to? Because God doesn't throw dice. God's got a plan for everything that takes place in our lives. Jacob, he leaves from Beersheba to go to Haran. And he lighted, verse 11, upon a certain place. And he tarried there all night. He's probably exhausted. Probably have been running frantically, looking over his shoulder. Is that hairy ape following me, Esau? Is he going to catch me? That man is an animal. I need to get out of here. And he's tired. It's nighttime. And so he stops, it says in the middle of verse 11, because the sun was set. And so he took the stones of that place and he put them for his pillows. I don't know about you guys, but I can sleep on a stone. I could sleep anywhere. In fact, if I wanted to, I can just lay down on this pulpit right now and take a nap. I can do that. When I come home from work sometimes, I'll lay down next to Charlo. A lot of times when I come home, the way his schedule is, he's usually just laying on the floor, just kind of kicking and moving his feet and not really doing much. I mean, he's rolling over and stuff, but there's really not much he's doing right now. And so I'll tell Shauna, you know, go ahead and start dinner, do whatever you're doing. I'll hang out with Charlo, and I'll find anything that's next to Charlo, whether it's the wipes box or whatever it is, and I'll put it under my head and use it as a pillow, and I'll fall asleep while I'm watching my son. I can fall asleep anywhere. When I'm on an airplane, as soon as, you know, I sit down, I don't even need the airplane to take off yet, I pass out. I can fall asleep wherever I am. Here's this man, he's exhausted. He finds some rocks. Oh, this will be a great pillow tonight. I'll lay my head on one of these stones, and I'm going to take a nap. And in verse 12, it says that he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. This word ladder, it's the only time it's used in the Old Testament. It's also known as a stairway. There was a stairway or a ladder. Many of you are knowing where I'm going with this text. It's known as Jacob's ladder. There was a ladder that appeared, set up on the earth, middle of verse 12. And the top of it reached to the heavens. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. Now, it's been said by many scientists that a lot of our dreams are based on subconscious thoughts, a lot of what we dream about. And perhaps at this point, and I'll connect the dots for you later on into our study, I know a lot, I see you guys looking at each other, a lot of my dreams are about food. I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat the next day or that day that I wake up. That's a lot of what I'm subconsciously thinking about. But you wake up, and here he is, and he's sleeping. He's just drifting off into sleep, and he's dreaming about something. Perhaps here he's dreaming about, and I'll explain this more as I go, so hang with me. But perhaps here he's dreaming about this great gulf between him and God. Because you got to remember about Jacob, as much as you look at this man and you shake your head, he's described in the scriptures by the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 25, verse 27, is a plain man. And that word plain translates to be perfect or upright. It's the same word that's used of Job in Job chapter 1, verse 1. Remember, Job was an upright man. He eschewed evil. He did those things that were right. Jacob's attention, affections were upon those things that were higher, those things that were in the heavenlies. He just went about things the wrong way. But he had a desire of the Lord. Esau, we're told, was a profane man. Esau was a man driven by his flesh. Esau was a man who was not concerned about the spiritual aspects of a relationship with God. He was concerned about the here and now and what pleased him in this life. Jacob, even though he was a con artist, even though he was a manipulator, his affections and desires and even passions were on those things that were higher above, those things that were on that were high above, those things that were of God, that were of the Lord. What's amazing before we move on in this verse that the Lord's been ministering to me is that the Lord chooses us and we're just a mess. He calls us and we're just a mess. And as we go along with the Lord, he begins to reveal to us our hearts. And that's not really something that's pleasant, is it? As he starts showing you, he takes his word, which is a mirror, and he says, look at your heart. And you look at your heart, right? Unless you're in the very beginning and you still think your heart looks pretty good. But as you get going with the Lord, you see your heart and you're disgusted, aren't you? You can't believe how much is in there. You know, when I first got called, I've shared a lot of these things with you guys, but I'll share it because it applies here to the text. When I first got called to pastor this church, I thought that must mean, now, I didn't think this of myself, but I just thought this of God. Try to hang with my thought process here. Good luck. I kind of thought that must mean in God's eyes that I must be at a certain place spiritually if he's entrusting me to pastor a church. Now, I know what it says in Corinthians that he uses the nobodies of this world, you know, the dummies of this world. I get it, to confound the wise. I understand those things, and I certainly qualify for that. But I began to think, Lord, does this mean that I'm where I need to be to some degree, that you're entrusting me with this ministry? Because it was the most obvious call. This is the most obvious way that God had ever spoken to me before in my life was the pastor of this church. In every aspect that you can get confirmations, I got them. And I've shared these things with you guys. And as I've been going through this first year, if you had the privilege, I'm being sarcastic, of interviewing me, and asking me, what have you learned the most in this first year of ministry? I would tell you what I've learned the most in this first year of ministry in the capacity that I'm in is that I've learned the most about myself and how much I need God's help and his mercy and his grace. I've learned about myself and how vulnerable I am and how weak I am without the grace of God. I've learned about myself and how much I love sin. Yes, I love good. Yes, I love Jesus. I'm standing before you tonight preaching to you his word, but I've learned how much I still love evil. I've learned about myself, how wretched my flesh is, and if I'm not crucifying it daily, that I'm going to be in big trouble. And what's amazing is the word educate, which God has been doing in my life, which God was doing in Jacob's life, and perhaps God's doing in your life tonight. The definition of educate means to educe or to draw out that which is within. So when God is educating you, you're here tonight. Listen, I'm not here tonight to blow you away. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a theologian. I'm not somebody, anything like that. You can go read a commentary if that's what you're looking for. I'm looking to be a representative of Jesus Christ to you tonight. That I've been in his presence and I've spent time with him and I've been praying for you. And that I hope that I can be somebody that you can see Jesus in tonight and that you can hear from the throne of God. And that he would educate you, not necessarily doctrinally, so to speak, which no doubt has a great importance in every message that I share, but that he can educate you personally with yourself, where you're at and what your needs are. That he can show you your vulnerabilities and your weakness and your failures. not to condemn you, not to beat you down, but so that you will look up, so that he can lift you up. Those who are abased, he lifts up, and those who are haughty and prideful, he abases. If what happens as an outcome of sitting in a Bible study such as tonight, that you see yourself for who you truly are, and God is meeting with you, he's educating you, he's beginning to draw out that which is within you, which we refer to as dross. He's taking the muck out of your life. It's not fun, is it? Anybody think that that's fun? It's a miserable experience. It's uncomfortable. It hurts because in the process, as we saw with Pastor John just about a month ago, there's stretching involved. There's pulling involved. There's smashing involved. There's chipping away involved. I mean, basically, as far as the potter's concerned, there's no bounds for how far they'll go to make a masterpiece. And that's exactly what God's saying to you as his church tonight. There's no bounds, as far as I'm concerned, of how far I'll go to make a masterpiece out of you. And I knew what I was getting into. I knew how dirty you were. I knew what a conniver you were. Maybe you're just like Jacob. I knew you were a manipulator. I knew you were a liar. But for some reason, I don't understand all the scriptures. The Bible tells us, and me paraphrasing here, essentially this, that God loved Jacob and he hated Esau. I'm not seeing much of a difference at this point. But you see, God in his sovereignty said that I love Jacob. I chose Jacob, even though this guy was a mess, and I'm in it for the long haul, because he who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. I heard a story recently about a family who had a little girl who became very sick. She's about 8 or 9 years old. And this little girl was on life support, and the doctors came to the parents one day, and they said, listen, we have to talk to you. Your daughter's not going to make it. And there's really no point anymore to keep her on this machine. It's the only thing that's keeping her alive, and she's really not even there. With all of the medical knowledge that we have, we advise you, as difficult as it is, for you to pull the plug. Well, the parents no doubt were overwhelmed. They were Christians. They began to pray, and they said, Lord, what would you have us to do?
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.